Welcome to the Better Workday podcast, hosted by Niamh Moynihan. Each week, Niamh shares tips, tricks, and insights to help you have a better workday. Whether you're part of a large multinational company, you work at a mom and pop shop, or you're a solopreneur, you are going to face feedback, either giving it, receiving it, or both. Niamh, how can we make sure that our feedback is effective and not just words filling time on an agenda?
Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. We are on episode 8 already. Can you believe it? And this week we're talking about feedback and what makes feedback effective. And it's interesting because when I received this topic for the week, it really made me think about my own experience and not just about how the feedback made me take action, but also how it made me feel. And let me just backtrack a second. I don't always pick the topics for the podcast. So the person who you hear every week doing my intros, that's Tricia. It's my sister, and she helps me out by doing a few things like researching through my blogs, my courses and my workshops and coming up with questions to ask me about how to create a better workday. So yeah, sometimes I pick the topics and sometimes it's Trish. And this time it was a Tricia question and really, really got me thinking. And maybe it's time for you to take a minute now and have a think. When is the last time you received good feedback? And by good feedback, it might not necessarily be related to an area that you're excelling in or an area you're doing really well in. Maybe it was something that you needed to improve or to do differently. But the difference between good and poor feedback is the way it's delivered, how it makes you feel, and the action it inspires you to take after. And I think that if his feedback is good, you feel motivated, determined, you know, curious, maybe excited, confident, you're capable that you can take the next step. Whereas when I was thinking back about times when I received poor feedback, I always just felt a little bit confused and maybe demotivated or kind of wondering, like, what's the point in trying at all, you know? And that really just tends to lead to procrastination, inaction, and even maybe just taking the wrong action. So it's very important to make sure that we're giving effective feedback, whether that's to a member of your team, if you're a manager, but also peer-to-peer feedback, and even if you're giving feedback upwards to your manager. Now, for today, I'm not going to talk about giving feedback in, let's say, for example, your annual performance review or a structured 360-degree feedback, because they happen at scheduled times of the year. I'm talking more about real-time feedback, okay? So now I think some of the same characteristics apply, but I just wanted to call that out. Now let's take a look at what poor feedback is, because sometimes I think it's easier to talk about what we shouldn't be doing and from there identify the good things that we could be doing. I always think the worst thing is when it's late. It's out of date. You know, the action or the result happened last week or last month and only now you're getting the feedback. And I find this a problem because, well, time fades the memory and changes our perception of events. So unless the feedback that you are giving is truly based on data and metrics that can't be questioned, then you're taking your memory into account, your feelings at the time, your feelings now, and it's all just a bit muddy. And honestly, even when it is very data-driven, your perception of the data and what that actually means, or your interpretation of the data and what that means, might have been diluted as well. So look, I mean, you can't give feedback real-time all the time. I know that, you know that, but we really do want to avoid it being very late. And if that means that you have to schedule a meeting in between your regular one-to-ones, I would say do that. Because going back to the very first episode, when I talked about people feeling productive, it's all around getting that feedback and making sure that, you know that they're on the right track. So a week, 2 weeks, a month later, it's too late. And almost as bad as that is vague or general feedback. And look, I was terrible for doing this when I first started giving feedback to people. And it would really kind of go along to something like, I don't like it, or it's not good enough, or we need to do it differently, or you need to try harder. And the person on the other side is left thinking, well, harder in what way? Different how? You know, it's not good enough, what part? And it's just that vagueness leads to a lot of confusion, and the person receiving the feedback doesn't know what they can do differently because you haven't told them specifically what's wrong. And I find that I used to give vague or general feedback when I hadn't had the time to think through why I wasn't happy with what was being done. And also, to be honest, when the goals weren't clearly defined in the first place. And one memory sticks out of my mind. I was working in a multinational and we had set quarterly goals, but the goals were very, very vague. They were too open, to be quite honest with you. And the feedback I got was that I wasn't performing up to standard, that I wasn't performing well. But when I pressed for examples of how or why or what do I need to do differently, there was no detail there. And it's because the goal itself was too vague in the first place. So both of us, both me and my manager, were interpreting it completely differently. And so when we have vague and general feedback, it could link back to either a lack of time on your part to reflect on what feedback you want to give, or maybe the goals or the direction wasn't clear enough in the first place. And kind of linking on about that, this is definitely a trap I fell into now when I first started managing teams. It's not all about you, as in the person giving the feedback. You know, quite often as a perfectionist, I wanted it done my way. And if it wasn't done my way or the way that I liked it or preferred it, I would say it's wrong. And that's just not true. It took me a long time now to be okay with this. But it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about the work that's been done. It's about the other person's development. It's about the results that you're looking to achieve. So do run your feedback through that filter to say, am I, you know, projecting what I want, or am I focusing on the performance and the results? And while you're doing that, just make sure that the feedback is relevant in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of tasks that people do on a daily basis. I don't think I've met a single person in the last 2 years that only does two or three things in the week. Everyone has long to-do lists. They're working on lots of different things, but not everything is created equal. So look, if the feedback is on an area which is not really a priority, it's a very small part of the person's work, it doesn't really create an impact anywhere, I would question whether you should be giving feedback on that, as in if it's poor feedback. And I'd also be questioning if the work should still be done, because if you're questioning how well the person is doing the work and it's not an important item, well, then maybe it's a sign that it should be deleted. And this is also true for feedback on good performance. So if you are giving really good feedback on the things that are very low priority and not giving any feedback on the stuff that's high priority, it makes the person wonder, like, what's really important? And that again causes confusion. Going back then to the vague or general point, poor feedback is always rushed, I feel. So it tends to be a one-way conversation. If I'm given the feedback, I just want to get it all out because I'm rushing somewhere else and I want you to rush to change. And even if you give a machine feedback, it usually says, thanks for the feedback. You know, like there's usually some kind of a dialogue, you know. So definitely if we're having a conversation human to human, there should be a conversation there. So if you don't have time to have the conversation, make time for the conversation. So with all that in mind, what makes effective feedback, or what are the characteristics of effective feedback? And look, there's been a lot written on this. I'm sure if you Google it or ChatGPT it or however you like to look things up these days, you'll find loads. But I've distilled it down into what I call the STAR framework for effective feedback, just because I find it very easy to remember and to use as a checklist for myself. Because now, of course, I give feedback to people who support me in the business and to clients and so forth. So I'm still giving feedback a lot as well. So the STAR framework stands for specific, timely, action-focused, and relevant. When I talk about specific, what I mean is, are you giving feedback on the result, on the person's work or the process they followed, or their attitude? Okay, so I'm going to take sales as an example because I'm just very comfortable giving sales examples. So perhaps, you know, the person achieved their target, right? So is the result going to be on, congratulations, you've achieved your target? You know, that's a positive outcome. So that's, you're looking at the result. Or is it going to be on the process? So yeah, look, you achieved your target, but you didn't update the system and the client told me that, you know, there was poor communication, so we need to work on that. So in that case, you're giving feedback on the process, okay? And then the attitude would be, you know, but I know that you're under a lot of pressure, so I really appreciate your determination and your focus on prioritizing this and getting it through. So that's on the attitude. And you can see here that I'm giving a mix of feedback for improvement and feedback on areas that the person is excelling all in the one conversation, but I'm breaking it down into those three different pieces. So I'm being specific. So the person isn't getting, as I said, a general or vague feedback. So again, always look, are you giving feedback on the outcome, on the process or the steps taken, or on the person's attitude or approach? And I think all three are relevant, and one would nearly be more relevant than another depending on your situation. Timely is the next one. And timely could be as simple as, you know, replying with an email saying, well done, or, you know, that's great, but let's chat about how you can improve in our next one-to-one. You know, it can just be a small acknowledgement of how they're doing, first of all. And then, as I said already, if your one-to-ones aren't regular with that person, you know, making the time to give the feedback within the next couple of days is always really good. And again, that also applies if you're, you know, giving feedback to a team member, or if you're giving a feedback upwards, if you're not meeting with that person every day or so, you know, make the time. Third for me is action focused. So when I receive feedback from anyone, the next question in my mind is always, so what? Like, yeah, like, great that I got good feedback, or, oh, it's a pity I got bad feedback, but like, so what? Like, what is the action that's required? And there's usually two actions. You're either asking the person to do more of what they're currently doing. So keep it up, keep on going. That's fantastic. You know, we're trying to motivate them, keep them excited about what they're doing, and remind them that they're capable and that they should be confident in their work. Or you're asking them to do something differently. So to try something new, you know, to get curious and to see if they can change the way that they work, or if they can get a different result. But either way, you're asking them to do something. So it's to either keep going or to go in a different direction. And if you don't know what action you want the person to take, I would just say, how do you think the other person is going to know? You know, like, you're the one who's seen the situation from an outside perspective. You're the one who's given the feedback. So you should at least come with questions or ideas about what the actions could be. If you really don't know what actions should be taken next, then I recommend you allowing plenty of time for this conversation so that the two of you can explore what the next steps are. Like, just don't leave the person hanging. It's very unfair, and it leads to that sense of frustration and confusion and, you know, what's the point? And then finally, make sure it's relevant. Like I said earlier, when you're giving feedback, make sure it's relevant to the work that the person is doing and that they're going to continue doing, and the work that's important for the person and for the team and for the company overall. And make sure that you're clear in explaining why this is relevant feedback. So again, going back to my earlier point, it might look like a small thing to the person receiving it, but perhaps from an outside perspective, you know why it is relevant. So consider that as well. And that's my STAR framework. I just think it's a nice little way to check yourself, I suppose, when you are giving feedback. And even, you know, if you're receiving feedback, to run it through as well, to say, well, you know, is it specific enough? Do I know exactly what I'm getting feedback on? Is it timely? Do I know what action I have to take? And how is it relevant to my day-to-day work? And I have this written down with a little light bulb for a final idea. And that's to ask for feedback on your feedback. Because we're all learning. And, you know, I certainly hadn't mastered feedback the first time I was a team leader, or the first time I was a manager. It took a while to get it. And part of it was, I suppose, I got good feedback from others, so I learned from them. But also, you know, a few people along the way did call me out and say, Niamh, I don't know what you want, or I don't know why you're bringing this up. And it's really good to learn on the job. So when you're finished giving feedback, ask for feedback on the conversation and see, is there anything that you can do to improve it? I hope you found this episode helpful. If you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, which is on one-to-one meetings, I recommend you check that out, because I think these go hand in hand. It's a little bit of a pair. We often give our feedback in one-to-ones. So definitely go back and listen to that. And next week, I'm going to be talking about holidays and planning for holidays from a work perspective, both before you leave and when you come back, because we are into April now, heading into May soon, and I hope you have some holidays booked. And that episode is going to make sure that you can switch off and enjoy your time off without worrying about work. So really looking forward to sharing that with you next week. Until next time, stay well and have a better work day.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Better Workday podcast is about helping you have a better workday. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. You can find our social media details as well as any references from this episode in the show notes.